Welcome to the Presbyterian Church of the Roses radio broadcast. We are so thankful you are taking time to listen to our worship service here today. We are the Church of the Roses in Santa Rosa, California, across from Montgomery Village. We are at 2500 Patio Court and Hammond Drive, where we host every weekday the Montgomery High School Free Breakfast Program. We would love to have more volunteers for that program, and so if you like to serve a free breakfast to high school students, please join us. We also have the Council on Aging here. The Council on Aging has a respite program on Mondays and Wednesdays here at the church. We have the Rosebud Preschool that has adorable children in it, and we have many other activities that you can join us for, such as social club activities, a camera club, a hearing support group for those with difficulty hearing. We have Bible studies and spiritual direction, and the Korean church meets here with their congregation as well. We reach out to the community with nurturing love to all people. We are inclusive and warm and welcoming. So I hope you will try to join us in person someday. Our 10 a.m. worship services are currently outside, but we hope to be able to move indoors again when the number of COVID cases goes down. So please call the church for more information or look at our website at www.churchoftheroses.org. God bless you. Now our first scripture reading today comes from the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, verses 15 to 20. Listen now to the word of God. Be careful then how you live, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time, because the days are evil. So do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery. But be filled with the Spirit as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, singing and making melody to the Lord in your hearts, giving thanks to God the Father at all times and for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Holy wisdom, holy word, thanks be to God. The book of Ephesians is full of wisdom. It was first designed to advise the new church community, first developing in the village of Ephesus, which is now in the country of Turkey. But these words of wisdom can apply to any place in every era. The author writes, "Be careful then how you live. Be wise. Make the most of your time here on earth." Then he says, "The days are evil." That's quite the pessimistic look, though, at days, isn't it? The days are evil. Days can feel evil, I guess, if we are bored or lazy, or if we just focus on ourselves and the negative things happening around us or in the news. The days we were in lockdown even may have felt evil to us because our freedom was encroached upon. But many people found ways to enjoy the pandemic lockdown when there were less expectations for travel and work and socialization. Many of us introverts enjoyed it in the beginning. But then many people found new hobbies during the lockdown too. Spent time cleaning out their closets. That was a big deal, is cleaning out closets during the lockdown. And some got to know their neighbors better because they couldn't venture very far away from their neighborhoods. The earth started to heal from less carbon in the atmosphere, and we learned to appreciate our health and well-being in ways we had not realized before. We are all grateful, I think, now just to be able to breathe deeply. So this passage begins with the phrase, "Because the days are evil," in the first sentence, but there is a list of solutions for the evil days at the end of this passage, if you noticed. The solution to feeling as if the days are evil is to, quote, be filled with the Spirit, sing psalms and hymns, and make melody to the Lord in our hearts by giving thanks at all times and for everything. that will cure the feeling that the days are evil. Singing lifts the spirits. I can see it in the face of Four Fours Glory when they sing and when we listen to it too. And that is one of the reasons we're having a hymn sing. It will be a lot of fun and lift our spirits to get to sing some of our favorite hymns. And then the author of Ephesians goes on to say, do not be foolish, but understand the will of the Lord. Well, that is a common question we all often ask ourselves throughout our lives. How do I know what God's will is for my life? The answer to that question is often found through prayer and meditation, lifting up the question to God as you journey through the days with gratitude in your heart. But another way to answer that is actually in the next sentence in this passage. The will of the Lord is for you not to get drunk. It follows here by saying, rather than filling up with wine, you should be filled with the Spirit. Now, there may have been a drinking problem among the Ephesians. We don't know, but this might give us a clue of what they were addressing. But maybe like here in Sonoma County, there was just too much good wine surrounding them. Today, you can travel to Ephesus and do a tour of the ancient archaeological sites and then have a wine tasting in the village nearby. That wasn't an option when I was there. In fact, I never knew wine was so good until I moved here. And it is very tempting to overdo it because we live among the best grapes in the world for winemaking. I will be officiating at a very sad memorial service outside the church for a young woman who gradually self-destructed from alcohol abuse. She grew up in a lovely family, had a star-studded high school and college career, and then she gradually became addicted. I'm sorry to say that this could have been the story of any of our children, and we ourselves could be slowly self-destructing from alcohol consumption too. We must be wise. No amount of alcohol is safe according to the Global Burden of Diseases study. And I know that's really hard news to hear. And we don't want to hear it, but you know, prophets always get martyred for things like that. Saying things that people don't want to hear. But in this study, and it was reported on NPR a few years ago, the researchers analyzed levels of alcohol use and its health effects in 195 countries from 1990 to 2016. Now, while the study's authors say that it was once thought that moderate drinking may safeguard people against heart disease, they found that the potential to develop cancer and other diseases offsets any potential benefits from wine. The report urges governments to revise health guidelines to suggest lower levels of alcohol consumption. And right now, the CDC still recommends only a maximum consumption per day of 1 5-ounce glass for females and a 10-ounce glass of wine for males, depending on body size. This study that came out, that studied so many years in so many countries, recommends zero consumption of alcohol. This may be the debauchery talked about in Ephesians. Alcohol can destroy you, and it is such sad news, but to live wisely, to discern good from evil, and to have a wise, discerning mind, we must listen to the wise guidance in the Bible, including limiting the amount of wine we drink. I know I may sound like your mother telling you what to do, but actually, a female voice imparting wisdom fits with the characteristics of wisdom found in many places in the Bible, too. Wisdom has built her house, we read in Proverbs 9:1. God's wisdom is personified as a construction worker, a female builder. And when the house is ready, she throws a party for everyone in her town. And throughout the Bible, wisdom is often referred to as female. Sophia is another term used to describe wisdom. Sophia is thought of as an expression of the female aspects of God. And in Proverbs 3:13-18, it reads, "Joyful is the person who finds wisdom, the one who gains understanding. For wisdom is more profitable than silver, and her wages are better than gold. Wisdom is more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with her. She offers you long life in her right hand and riches and honor in her left hand. She will guide you down delightful paths. All her ways are satisfying. Wisdom is a tree of life to those who embrace her. Happy are those who hold her tightly." That's in Proverbs 3. And then a few verses later in Proverbs 8, Sophia, the other name for wisdom, is described as being present at the beginning of creation. "When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When God established the heavens, I was there, plain before God, all the while." And that's in Proverbs 8, 24 and 30. Wisdom is another characteristic or aspect of God that we don't talk about all that often. God is neither male nor female, despite the frequent he used in Christian images and metaphors. If we all are made in the image of God, then God is non-gendered. Today we might say God is non-binary. God is too mysterious and beyond our imaginations to put in a gender box. In the past, the authors thought it was easy to identify God with a gender for the use of pronouns in their language for the Bible. The Bible was written in the midst of a patriarchal society that had very definite beliefs about the role of men and women. And yet, there are many places in the Bible where women were great leaders and judges, missionaries alongside Paul, and preachers and prophets. The Bible refers to God without a male connotation when God is called Creator, Wisdom, and the Holy Spirit. But in the Roman Catholic and Reformed traditions, they chose the identity of God to be emphasized as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Wisdom was left out of the Trinity. But things in religious circles are changing. Maybe someday there will be a quaternity. That's a word that I came upon just searching what would be, you know, the addition to Trinity, and I found quaternity, which sounds strange, but I didn't make this up. And the Pope back in 1954 was actually talking about this in one of his encyclicals about the possibility of God being being a four Godhead God. We think of three Godheads. He was talking about four Godheads as a quaternity back in 1954. If you look up the word in the encyclopedia, it says, "The divine mystery as a quaternity can be dimly perceived in the world's four cardinal directions, the four seasons, and the four elements, fire, water, earth, and air." The encyclopedia also gives many examples of a fourfold structure for the divine. One mentioned in the encyclopedia I found is from the book called Black Elk Speaks, where my old friend, John G. Neidhart, who was the poet laureate in Nebraska, he explained a vision in this book that Black Elk, the Nebraska Ogallala chief, shared with him. In his vision, there was a fourfold structure that ordered his religious experience and provided an image for the order of divine things. And it is a very long description, so I just encourage you to read the book, Black Elk Speaks. But it starts with a four-legged horse. Now, the encyclopedia also refers to visions in the book of Ezekiel, connecting the divine to a quaternity, which includes animal symbols, an ox, a lion, an eagle, and a human. And the Vedic Indian religion also has a four-fold structure for the divine. So there may be room in the divine thought for Sophia, for the person of wisdom in the Trinity to become a quaternity. An article on the blog called U.S. Catholics quoted an author of a book about Sophia, and I know this author well. Her name is Joyce Rupp, and she has written so many beautiful devotional books. And it said, "Some passages speak of wisdom as a quality or a truth to guide our lives. In a few places in the Bible, wisdom is presented as a thing, such as wise sayings, proverbs, and moral exhortations. However, there are many other passages that refer to wisdom as a person. It is here that the feminine pronoun is always used and is consistently reflective of the divine presence. This wisdom is considered holy wisdom, identified in Greek as Hagia Sophia, meaning holy wisdom." Now, if you saw the movie The Shack or read the book The Shack, the Sophia person was another representation of God that the father was going to try to get answers about the death of his daughter. And it was represented in the movie as a woman in a white gown who asked the father in the story to choose between his two remaining children, which one would go to heaven and which one would go to hell. And that's a very poignant part in the movie. And Thomas Merton wrote about Sophia in one of his books where he said, "The diffuse shining of God is Hagia Sophia, holy wisdom. Sophia is gift, is spirit, donum die. She is God-given. Sophia in all things is the divine life reflected in them." And the Book of Wisdom in our Bible's Apocrypha, and I forgot to bring my Bible actually, I was going to show you where the Apocrypha is in the Bible, describes Sophia guiding the Exodus people through the wilderness. She led them by a marvelous road, it says. She herself was their shelter by day and their starlight through the night. And that's in the Book of Wisdom in our Protestant Bibles, Wisdom chapter 10, verses 17. And the passage was clearly another way of speaking about the faithful God who went in front of the Israelites in a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night, which is in Exodus 13, 21. Sophia, we can think of, is another name for the divine. And now what is the Apocrypha, since I mentioned that? The word is Greek for the hidden things. And the Apocrypha is in the center of our Bibles, and it includes the biblical books received by the early church as part of the Greek version of the Old Testament, but not included in the Hebrew Bible, being excluded from the canon back in the days when they developed the Hebrew Bible by the non-Hellenistic Jews. The Apocrypha, also called the Deuterocanon, is accepted by some faiths as canonical, or they think of it as belonging to their canon equally with the others. And it consists of the books of Tobit, Judith, Wisdom, Sirach, Baruch, Letter of Jeremiah, 1st and 2nd Maccabees, the additions to Esther, and the additions to Daniel. And although some biblical scholars do not consider them divinely inspired, they are still regarded as worthy of study by the, quote, faithful. The Reformers, though, viewed the books in the Apocrypha as, quote, dubious. But many today now support the use of the Apocrypha to expand our understanding of the scriptures. The Anglican Church, in fact, emphatically maintains that the Apocrypha is part of the Bible and is to be read with, quote, respect by their members. Now, my Bible that we had to buy all the same Bible at Princeton Seminary, and it's the HarperCollins Study Bible. We all had to be using that one when we were at seminary. And it has these books in our Protestant Apocrypha positioned between the Old and the New Testaments. And so if you don't have one at home that has this in it, I can show you mine if you're interested in seeing where it is. But there's a number of pages that are the Apocrypha. So the author of the book on Sophia, Joyce Rupp, is a best-selling author and spiritual director in Des Moines, Iowa. And she said, "We need to look for the divine aspect of God identified as wisdom or Sophia. She said about Sophia, by her very nature, she is relational, present in the world, interacting with ordinary human lives. By desiring to know her, by opening our minds and our hearts, her radiance will permeate our lives. Joyce Rupp believes it is time for Christians to recover the richness of this heritage of the divine feminine that has been lost. And so Rupp goes on to say, we need Sophia now more than ever. We need her compassionate presence and her ability to help us see clearly in the midst of a world that cries out for wisdom and for love. So I will be presenting an Advent Bible study this year on the books of the Apocrypha so we can get to know it, with an emphasis on the Book of Wisdom. And I will be using Rupp's book on Sophia as a guide. So I hope you will all plan to join us. It will be a hybrid Zoom and in-person study again. So we were in last time in the Rose Room, and we had the camera situated so that you could see the people there and then also be on Zoom at home too. So it really helps a number of people participate. So that will start in Advent. So be wise. Studies on resilience show research results that promote these same things that we find in the Bible passages for today. It is better to seek wisdom, the knowledge to discern good from evil, than to have material wealth. It is good to show gratitude to God every day, and especially to come to worship to show your gratitude together in this way. It is important to limit the consumption of things that can lead to debauchery and hurt your body. So be filled with the Spirit. Find ways to thank God for everything, even if it is something that chaos caused. With God's help, you can find ways to make something good out of the chaos. This pandemic has caused too much death and destruction, but we who remain are called to find ways to thank God for this opportunity to help others who need us. We who have survived can promote wisdom, goodness, kindness, and truth. Amen.
Precious Lord, take my hand. Bring me home through the night. Through the dark, through the storm, to thy light. I have been to the mount. I have seen the promised land. Precious Lord, precious Lord, take my hand. Precious Lord, take my hand. Bring thy child home at last, where the strife and the pain are our past. I have dreamed a great dream, that thy love shall rule our land. Precious Lord, precious Lord, take my hand.